This is Jordan Secchia with breaking news on the border. U.S. Marshals and DEA agents from the Department of Justice have been dispatched to the border at the request of the Department of Homeland Security.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We have breaking news as we've been covering the situation at the border this week. And each day we thought, well, maybe we'll move on to a different topic tomorrow. Something new has broken that is very significant. It's significant because the Department of Homeland Security put in an emergency request to the Department of Justice to send DEA agents as well as U.S. Marshals down to the border to supplement the Border Patrol agents and U.S. military. There's a key reason why. So there's been 33 DEA agents sent and 10 U.S. Marshal Service personnel sent to the Southern California border region. This is the region where the migrant caravan members have been clashing with border agents. Here's why. On the DEA, on the Marshal side, Marshals have wide-ranging ability to enforce the law, unlike the military. They can make arrests. They can track down criminals and felons eluding law enforcement. And in this case, marshals could be used to track down repeat illegal crossers. Since entering the country illegally for a second time, actually goes from a misdemeanor, that second time it becomes a felony. So we're bringing in marshals, very serious, wide-ranging authority they have throughout the country. They have jurisdiction throughout the United States to track down felons and those eluding law enforcement. They could also have the power to make arrests, unlike, again, the military who was down there. The DEA agents are expected to arrive as well yesterday, and they are used to conduct interviews on site to ascertain if someone is crossing the border that can be involved in any illegal drug activity. This is because the border agents are overwhelmed. They are swarmed. I'm going to go right to Wes Smith. I mean, Wes, because of the caravan distraction, the flow of illegal drugs, the flow of even dangerous people. An MS-13 member was arrested trying to claim asylum. I mean, this is getting very serious at the border, so you've got to bring in these new kind of backups like U.S. Marshals and DEA agents.
Right, right. The Border Patrol is trying to man the entire border, but you're right. With the caravan at these particular points, Tijuana and the other port of entry, the rest of the border is much more porous. There are not as many law enforcement people monitoring the border. And because of that, drug smugglers and human traffickers, they are taking advantage of this. And so the Border Patrol agents that are on the other parts of the border are finding an increase both in human smuggling and in drug smuggling because all of the agents are distracted by the caravan, and so they're using the rest of the border getting across.
Yeah, we got calls yesterday asking, what's the cost of this to the U.S. economy when you've got all this focus, you don't have the wall, what is it costing us? Well, this is what it's costing us, a flow of drugs, which is very tough to stem, multiple illegal crossers, gang members, some being apprehended, but that means that hundreds are not being apprehended who are making illegal crossings. That is why DOJ is bringing down reinforcements through the DEA and the U.S. Marshals Office to track down what can be dangerous felons and also drug traffickers. 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call to talk to us on the air. Again, the big idea here is we are moving closer and closer. We're just a week and a day away from a potential government shutdown. Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, is it still on track, you believe, that the government will be shut down if the president does not receive that $5
billion? Yeah, still no deal reached, Jordan. 8 days away from sending the money to the Department of Homeland Security, which is tasked with addressing all of those problems that you just laid out. To this point, no deal. So look, if the president has a choice where he doesn't get the funds he needs to properly address the threat, I would expect he would probably veto it. They would not have the votes to override that. So yeah, 8 days away, Jordan, and I think right now the odds are a government shutdown is looming.
Do you support the government shutdown to get funding for the border wall? I want to hear from you today. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We have a big matching goal, challenge goal to hit in the next 24 hours. I'll tell you about it in the next break. Donate to the ACLJ. Your gift is doubled at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So a couple pieces of breaking news. First, at the request, an emergency request from the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice is now sending 33 DEA agents and 10 U.S. Marshals Service personnel, so 10 U.S. Marshals, to the Southern California border region where the riots have been occurring and where the caravans have been located. We're talking about nearly 8,000 over 8,000 people still at that southern border with Mexico. There's serious problems there. One-third of the migrants in the caravan are being treated for health issues just in Tijuana. So that's about 6,000 people. So out of that one-third, I mean, you're talking about 2,000 people who have serious respiratory infections, tuberculosis. AIDS cases have been discovered, as well as the potential, very serious potential about a hepatitis outbreak because of the conditions that the migrants are in. So it's causing serious health issues on Mexico's northern border, our southern border in Tijuana. There was a MS-13 member who traveled with the caravan, arrested by the Border Patrol, thankfully, who tried to make an asylum claim. So again, it's why these reinforcements are necessary. Now, why do you bring in DEA? I'll say it one more time. The DEA comes down to track down those and conduct interviews on those who may be crossing the border who are involved with that illegal drug activity, which is so common across our southern border. And when these distractions of caravans are occurring, it's a great time to try and bring over more drugs, illegal drugs. The U.S. Marshals are brought in because they have this wide-ranging law enforcement ability. They have jurisdiction in the entire country of the United States. They can track down felons. They can make arrests. And remember that if you have repeatedly entered the border more than once illegally, the second time you enter, it's a felony. So the U.S. Marshals can come and arrest you, and you can be charged with a felony. So that is occurring. I do also want to mention some other breaking news. You know, there was this president is traveling to the G20 in Argentina, and there was a lot of news that he would be meeting with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. Here I'm going to read President Trump's tweet because that has changed just moments before we went on air. Based on the fact that the ships and sailors have not been returned to Ukraine from Russia, and you may know about that situation with Ukraine and Russia that happened in the Crimea, I have decided it would be best for all parties concerned to cancel my previously scheduled meeting in Argentina with President Vladimir Putin. I look forward to a meaningful summit again as soon as the situation is resolved. So the president showing strength there, standing up to Putin and saying, you know, I'm not going to meet with you while you were holding these Ukrainian soldiers. And so I think that's significant. We don't want to miss that today on the broadcast, as that was breaking just as we were going on air. I mean, all the news was that they were going to have this meeting. The president, by tweet, on his way really out the door to get on Marine One to head to Joint Base Andrews to make the trip to Argentina, has decided to cancel the meeting with President Putin. And I will leave it at that, but I think it shows a strong message about how the U.S. is dealing with Russia and their acts of illegal aggression in the Crimea region. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. A lot of calls coming in. Mark calling from Oklahoma, online four. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, good to be with you.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, you know, I'm watching your comments on marshals and going to the border. We've got troops down there. I'm a retired Army officer. I'm a musician like yourself, too. And, you know, I think there's a statement that I really like by Lieutenant General retired Honore. And he was my commander, division commander, while I was in Korea. And he said, don't get stuck on stupid. And he wrote a book about it. And I think that's kind of what's happening down there at the border right now. We've got, you know, 8,000 plus folks down there with several thousand more coming. It's already a humanitarian crisis. And instead of thinking about this logically and trying to address what's going on, we're thinking about ways to make it worse. And I believe what I heard yesterday was there was 100 people being let in a day. You know, to make this whole matter kind of go away, you got to think about it logically and don't get stuck on stupid. You know,
well, what do you think is the solution then?
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to figure out how to get as many of these people legally in as possible.
I think that's a huge problem. First of all, these people are not entering ports of entry legally to immigrate. They're not on a normal path to immigration. So you may take the position of open up the borders. I think that's absolutely wrong. You can't set that precedent. These are people who have not yet entered the U.S. They have not applied for immigration status. Many were told they were going to apply for asylum status. They have agents down there assessing that. While they were assessing that, they're picking up MS-13 agents. And by the way, we do a lot of asylum work. I'm not against asylum at all. We support that as a country. We are a place for refugees and people who are looking for asylum, but you have to meet very specific standards. Your life has got to be at risk based off certain standards, like your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, targeting by a gang. You have to have evidence about this. So again, it's very serious to prove an asylum claim. You can't just say, I need asylum because I don't have a good job or I'm in a tough economic situation. That doesn't count. So I think, Mark, the solution is you've got to deal with what we're dealing with now, the 8,000 or so. You've got to make it clear to them there's nowhere to go. Turn around. That's the solution. And then second, Than, which goes to Washington, D.C., second is build the wall so it's clear you're not going to be able to kind of push through and there's no way to enter the United States. It's very difficult illegally. You'll have to go through the normal legal channels.
Yeah, here's the problem, Jordan. I mean, best case scenario when this caravan was on its way was that we did not know who was in it, and therefore there was a harm to letting all of them in. It's worse than that, Jordan, and you already outlined all this, but known MS-13 members, traffickers, gang members, known criminals, repeat illegal crossers. So that's who you would be letting in if the caller's suggestion was the tack that you take. Jordan, I would just argue this. I mean, I think all of us here want people who are coming for a legitimate reason to seek a better life in the United States to have a proper and legal chance to make that case. The best chance for those individuals, Jordan, is if the border is secured and a crisis like the one that is upon us now is not something that all of our resources need to be actively taken up with. Now, the way you do that is you build a barrier, you build a wall, and you increase border security to make sure that you have that properly managed. So people who are seeking a legitimate path to the United States, our resources can be used to process those claims. Jordan, the two just don't work if they don't happen in harmony with one another. And all you have to do is look back at our recent attempts. The most famous one was in 1986 when we promised we would secure the border after we addressed some of these other things. That never happened, Jordan, and that's why the crisis is in front of us now. And that's why the president has said if December 7th comes and he does not get the funding for the wall that would start that process, he's going to veto it. And Jordan, I think that's an appropriate course of action. What's the purpose of the Department of Homeland Security if you're not actually securing the homeland? homeland.
We at the American Center for Law and Justice, we fought hard for the president's executive order that was upheld by the Supreme Court on immigration and standards set and barring some immigration temporarily from some countries and refugees from some countries. We supported that executive order, and the president was ultimately victorious after long court battles at the U.S. Supreme Court. We're supporting the president here on building the wall and getting the funding for the wall. The caravan is just one reason why, an example why, we need that wall. Let me go right to the phones, because I think it's important that we continue to take as many phone calls as we can. Mary in California, on line three. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I actually had a question to ask. California, San Fernando Valley. So there was a news report that our Attorney General for California, Javier Becerra, was considering taking legal action due to the tear gas being fired at the migrants.
Yeah.
So my question is, how can an Attorney General try to file legal action for people that are not citizens when our Border Patrol agents are citizens?
I'll go to Harry on this. I mean, it's California. So, Mary, I know you live there, but it's no surprise that they're considering filing action. Remember, they haven't filed it yet. President Obama did this a number of times. I mean, I think almost once for every day he was in office, they used tear gas and pepper spray on the border to control these crowds that will gather. But of course, Mary, the Democrat Attorney General in California wasn't bringing lawsuits against President Obama. So, Harry, the idea here that you could bring a lawsuit as a state against what happened across border, again, they may try to file it. I can't see it going very far.
I absolutely agree with you. The issue, of course, is whether or not any criminal misconduct or perhaps civil misconduct occurred. That's number one. Number two, more likely than not, the federal agents involved would be covered by civil and criminal immunity with respect to exercising the president's constitutional authority within the meaning of Article 2 of the Constitution. It's clear beyond question that the Attorney General of California has no authority to enforce the president's Article 2 authority, and I think the lawsuit should be dismissed if indeed it is filed.
We'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We have a big fundraising goal by midnight tomorrow night. That's by midnight Friday. We need to raise $400,000 for the American Center for Law and Justice. You can help us by being part of our matching challenge at aclj.org. If you donate right now $50, we have someone ready to match that so it becomes $100 to ACLJ. I know it sounds like a lot, but when we have millions of listeners, as we do right now in this broadcast, if everybody chips in just a little bit with that matching challenge, we can reach that goal of $400,000 for the American Center for Law and Justice.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Something special right now for our friends watching on Facebook and Periscope. I encourage you to share this show right now. Click that share button. A lot of people are watching, learning about what is happening at the border with the breaking news. The Department of Homeland Security made this emergency request to DOJ to send DEA agents and U.S. Marshals down to the southern border in California to help and assist the Marshals, because they have wide-ranging law enforcement abilities to track down criminals. They can make arrests, unlike the military that's down there backing up the Border Patrol. And it's a felony if you try to enter the country illegally twice. So they've got another reason to be there. The DEA also playing an important role because of the drug. We're going to talk about that in a second. The fact that when you've got all this chaos, what do you think the cartels are doing? They're using the chaos to try and get more and more drugs into the United States. I mean, that's so they use these chaos situations for bad. Before we do that, let me just remind you right now, and please share this broadcast with your friends and family if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope. I know those of you on radio, you can turn it up for the friends maybe in your car or your workplace, but we really need your support right now for the American Center for Law and Justice. By tomorrow at midnight, to stay on our track for our budget for the year, we need to raise about $401,000 to be exact. $401,000. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled at the American Center for Law and Justice. So if you donate $25, we have someone ready, a donor ready, to match that $25. So you'll be charged $25, and then they will match that $25, so it'll be $50 to the ACLJ. Now, you may think, Jordan, $400,000 by midnight tomorrow night, that sounds like a lot. But remember, we are talking to millions of you through our radio broadcasts, our TV broadcasts, our social media platforms, and email. We can reach this goal if all of us chip in just a little bit, just a little bit. This is a great time to do it because your gift is doubled at aclj.org. I don't like using most of our broadcasts to fundraise, but this is a critical time as we need to reach a goal of $400,000 raised by midnight tomorrow night. Let me go right to Wes Smith. Wes, we've got a lot of questions coming in about, okay, so all of this chaos at the border, what cost is this, what is this costing the U.S.? And you've put together the statistics just in the last 72 hours about how the bad actors, the cartels, have been able to utilize this chaos to bring illegal drugs and individuals trafficking into the country.
Yeah. Like most criminals, human smugglers and drug traffickers are they take advantage of our weaknesses there. They're opportunistic. And so just in the last 72 hours, and these are the ones that were caught that we know about, we do not know how many human smugglers and drug traffickers are not being caught because of so much manpower being moved to where the caravans are. The parts of the southern border that are open, that don't have a barrier, that don't have a fence, these criminals are using them at an increased rate. But in the last 72 hours that they have caught 625 pounds of narcotics, $484,000 worth of cocaine, 112 pounds of marijuana, over 600 pounds of methamphetamines, and in a stash house in the Rio Grande Valley, the Border Patrol agents discovered a stash house where there were 36 people stashed in a house by a human smuggler. These are the ones that we know about over the last
72 hours.
In 72 hours, this has all happened. And here's the thing about the human trafficking. If for no other reason than that, to build the wall would be compassionate to stop this illegal trade. Now, admittedly, some of the people that come across with human traffickers are trying to find work, but many of them are basically held captive in the sex trade in the United States.
And they're enslaved in some kind of way.
Yes,
women
exactly.
And men in the sex trade and in other activities as well.
But in the last 72 hours, just these stats, I think, are alarming. And these are the ones that we know about. These are the individuals that the Border Patrol has actually caught and arrested.
Keep those stats. I want to go back to them as we continue the broadcast because they are shocking to hear for the first time about just what has occurred in the last 72 hours. And that is what has actually been caught. Let's go right back to the phones. Ann in Michigan on line 5. Ann, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I I have some comments to make today. First of all, I'm an immigrant. I'm also a citizen, and my parents brought me here when I was a young girl. And I would like to say we are a sovereign nation.
Yes.
It is our right and responsibility to secure our borders. And what I would like to know is, what can we, the people, do to support our president in his endeavor to achieve this? What can we do? How fast do we need to do it? Please.
Well, yeah, no, and I think, listen, your great story of someone who immigrated legally, your parents immigrated legally, they made sure you were brought here legally, and now you're a U.S. citizen. Than, this is a time to really activate with Congress, because it is up to Congress to fund, to give the president the funds he is requesting, which is the $5 billion to keep the wall, the building project on track. They're saying they'll give him $1.6. That's not enough to keep the building program on track.
Yeah, I'd say two things, Jordan. First of all, the caller's absolutely right about the United States being a sovereign nation, and the primary duty for securing the border to protect that sovereignty will lie at the feet of the president, no matter what Congress does, though, Jordan. So that's why, you know, if they don't fund this border wall and he doesn't have the tools proper, the American people are going to have to be prepared to stand behind him if he would veto that bill and embrace a government shutdown for a matter of weeks in order to fulfill that obligation that he will still have, Jordan. But you're right. The negotiations over this appropriation bill inside the Department of Homeland Security essentially amount to this. The president needs $5 billion for construction of the wall and border security that will happen in the next fiscal year. The House has agreed to give him that amount. The Senate has only agreed to $1.6 billion. And I think you played some great sound from Senator Rubio talking about, well, if you only build, you know, 200 of the 800 miles that are needed, that isn't any better than building zero of it. That's why the president has said he needs all $5 billion. So what's going to happen, Jordan? If they don't come to an agreement before December 7th, then the Department of Homeland Security would enter a partial shutdown. Now, it wouldn't be a full government shutdown. Department of Defense is fully funded and plenty of others.
I want to take Jerry's call on that before we go into our first half hour break. We have a second half hour coming up. But Jerry, you have a call about what the shutdown really means. It's such an ominous term. Jerry, you're on the air.
Good team. Nice job. Previous, I think the Schumer shutdown, you actually kind of bullet pointed and showed us the effect of a shutdown. Is it no park rangers at the Washington Monument in December? What really does a shutdown mean? Because it really minimally affected us to stand behind the president.
This is an extremely partial shutdown. So first off, 75% of the budget has already been approved for the Department of Defense, so it doesn't affect our military. Department of Labor, HHS, Education, Department of Energy, Water, the legislative branch of government has been funded, military construction, and Veterans Affairs. All have been funded. Before December 7th, there can be a minibus that funds this. So we're at 75% of funding of the government already done. We can get to 90% by December 7th in what's called a minibus spending bill, and that will fund agriculture, financial services like getting Social Security checks out, the Department of Interior, Transportation, and HUD. So that would go to 90% of the federal government being funded. And then we're left on December 7th with 10% of the federal government not funded for non-essential workers at Commerce, Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and State. That would not include anybody who is essential. So those U.S. Marshals, Border Patrol agents, leadership, ambassadors. We would have 90% of the government funded. So this would really be a partial shutdown of 10% of the government of non-essential employees from just those few departments. We've got a second half hour coming up. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. A big goal to tomorrow by midnight. We need to raise $400,000. Support the work of the ACLJ. That's at ACLJ.org. And whatever you donate is doubled at ACLJ.org. We can reach that goal with your support.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Thanks for joining us for the second half hour. Jay Sekulow Live, a big team here joining us today. We've got Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., Harry Hutchinson, our legal policy analyst team. We've got Wes Smith as well from our national security team, all joining us talking about what is happening with the border security, the budget. Let me explain to you some breaking news. The Department of Justice, if you're just joining us, is sending DEA and U.S. Marshals to the southern border in California at an emergency request from the Department of Homeland Security. It will be 33 DEA agents, 10 U.S. Marshals. The Marshals are sent because they have wide-ranging ability to enforce the law and make arrests, unlike the U.S. military that is there backing up Border Patrol agents. So they'll be there also to track down repeat illegal crossers, because if you cross the border illegally once and are caught, it's a misdemeanor and sent back. If you're caught the border illegally crossing twice, it's a felony, so that you get the marshals involved there. And you also, they are good at tracking down felons. The DEA agents have arrived to conduct interviews on site to ascertain if people crossing the border are involved in any illegal drug activity. And let me go right to Wes Smith and go through these shocking numbers. Mm. Wes, we know in 72 hours, there are plenty of people at this using this chaos at the border to smuggle in drugs and conduct human trafficking, so it's right for the DEA to be there. Give people these shocking numbers. And I want to remind you, this is just in the last 72 hours, and it's only what the U.S. government has been able to catch.
Right. These are the ones that they caught. We don't know how many hundreds more they did not catch, but in the last 72 hours, they've arrested people who are bringing across the border 625 pounds of narcotics of various types, over 600 pounds of meth, $484,000 worth of cocaine, tons of marijuana, and they, in a stash house in the Rio Grande Valley, they arrested a human smuggler who had brought 36 people across the border illegally near the Rio Grande River and stashed them in a house before he would, you know, send them to various parts of the country. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, one of the callers talked about why we can't process them faster. In San Ysidro, for example, that holding facility only will hold 100 people. They can process 300 asylum claims a day. That's all. So both in facilities and in manpower, they are overwhelmed. If we had a wall, then we could actually have more points of entry, legal points of entry. You could take the staff that are trying to guard a 1,900-mile border, you could actually put them at these ports of entry. We could actually process more people on their asylum claims, legitimate ones, more quickly, and it would be more efficient and more humane only if we had that wall. But in the meantime, the drug traffickers, the human smugglers, they're opportunistic and they are taking advantage of this crisis.
Norma on Facebook writes in, Jordan, do you believe it's realistic the president will get the wall fully funded? Than, the president said, I will veto this. I will shut down the government until I get the funding necessary to keep it on track. That's $5 billion. The total funding is $25 billion, but it's $5 billion to keep it on track. The Senate is only providing $1.6 billion right now. The House is ready to give the $5 billion. So the key is, if the president shuts down the government over this, the negotiations will all focus on whether or not it'll be all about increasing the funds for the wall and at what point it will satisfy the president.
Yeah, Jordan, I think it's unlikely that Democrats in the United States Senate are going to go along with this the first time the bill comes through. So I think it probably would take a veto from President Trump. And then the key becomes, will the American people stand with the president on that demand? Because government shutdowns are not comfortable, Jordan, even partial ones. This is not as big of a deal as people will make it out to be, but it will not be comfortable. Will the American people insist and, quite frankly, put appropriate political pressure on their elected officials to actually do their job and send the funds? Jordan, I think it will take a shutdown and it will take the American people siding in on the side of the border wall.
All right, folks, we have a lot to talk about on the broadcast. It's coming up, a lot of phone calls. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We have one line open, so call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we need to raise, to stay on track for our ACLJ budget, $400,000 by tomorrow at midnight. This is a great time to financially support the work of the ACLJ, because your donation will be doubled at ACLJ.org. We fight hard on all these issues. Support our work financially at ACLJ.org. Help us reach that goal. We can do it with all of you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We have a lot of calls coming in. We've set the stage with breaking news that the Department of Justice, at the request of the Department of Homeland Security, is sending down U.S. Marshals and DEA agents. We've gone through some of these statistics as well. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson. Harry, we've got a serious crisis here, legal issues afoot, because you've got, for instance, in the break we played an interview with Christine Nielsen, who is the Secretary of Homeland Security. And she said that the statistics show pretty clearly, and with asylum, that with Central Americans, and most of these migrants, that's where they're coming from, only 9 to 10% of Central Americans ever get asylum. The rest are make their claims based off economic concerns, and that gets you booted out immediately. So there's a real issue legally when you've got thousands of people and only probably 10% or less in these caravans that could even make a valid asylum claim.
Absolutely. So I think it's clear beyond question that the caravanners have been misled by groups like People Without Borders, who have told them that the United States would welcome them with open arms, that we would open the border to them. They do not qualify in general for asylum. That's number one. Number two, in the midst of the migrant caravan, there's a significant number of criminals. In addition, as Tijuana is currently experiencing, there's an increasing problem with health and illness that is beginning to break out in terms of potential hepatitis infections, HIV, AIDS infections, and other illnesses. So we face a humanitarian crisis on our border. But at the same time, we must maintain our border security and the sovereignty of the United States. So it's a difficult balancing act. And I think long run, a major component of solving this particular crisis will indeed be the creation and construction of a border wall. In addition, the United States should take affirmative steps with both Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala to solve problems in those particular regions. But again, those will take a long-term solution as opposed to a short-term solution. So it's a difficult balancing act, But I also think that the administration is handling this correctly by sending reinforcements in terms of DEA agents, U.S. Marshals, along with the National Guard, the U.S. military, and Border Patrol. We need to send a signal, because at the end of the day, we cannot provide incentives for future caravans. And so that's the long-term issue that faces us. We cannot incentivize misbehavior in the long run.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Ada is calling from California, online 3. Ada, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just want to let you know that I am Democrat.
Yep.
And I live in a community that we're Democrat. But we are very, very opposed to this caravan. And even in the, I don't know, they make it sound like Democrats agree with this, but we don't. We want the wall.
Here's the issue, Ada. You as a Democrat may want the wall. Your representative, the Democrats you vote for in California, do not. I think that is a fair statement to make, Than. I'll let Ada continue, but Than, that's a fair statement. Is she is a Democrat, may want the wall. Her Democrat Party does not.
Yeah, I actually think this is a disconnect between the Democrat base and Democrats in Washington, D.C., Jordan, that's going to continue to be exposed. And again, I'll just give you one data point of evidence. If there were probably nine at this point, Senate Democrats who are willing to fund this border wall, Jordan, it would be funded tomorrow. So there's a disconnect between Ada and her elected representatives. In fact, she's got two of them in California. She should probably call them.
Yeah, Ada, I would call those representatives and say, hey, I voted for you. We need this wall. You know, we need this wall. And I'd also encourage you to really, but you know, we're not near an election right now, but in the next 2 years, reconsider maybe your blanket support. You said you live in a Democrat community. Reconsider that blanket support, because, and really look at the issues that you're concerned about, like the wall, and make sure you're voting for candidates who support your positions on that. But I think, Ada, that's the tough part here. I mean, if you've got more to say, go ahead.
Right. And then also, I want to say that the, you know, all these people that are coming, they say they have they're coming for financial reasons. And I'm thinking to myself and a lot of us over here, and even in the Hispanic community, we're saying, well, they really don't have the funds. We're wondering who's funding them to come all the way from their country over here, you know, how they're getting this.
These are
money,
nonprofit organizations like Pueblo Sin Fronteras, which is People Without Borders, out of Oakland, California. A lot of this coming out of liberal California, Ada, and they're funding the caravans. So that's how these individuals who don't have the resources are jumping on the trains or getting rides on these buses. They're utilizing nonprofits. Harry, you've looked into this group a lot. They're totally organizing it. So to answer Ada's question, that's how they get here without the resources. They don't have the resources, so these nonprofit groups are providing that. But all they do is get them to the border, then chaos ensues.
Absolutely. So two things are going on. First, People Without Borders are basically misrepresenting U.S. border policy, and they are trying to encourage migrant caravans. That's number one. Number two, People Without Borders, more likely than not, is providing direct funding for some of the caravanners. And so basically they are contributing to a problem. At the end of the day, there's a potential for a huge humanitarian problem on our border, because the mayor of Tijuana is very concerned about the outbreak of disease within his own population. They cannot handle these caravanners currently, and the problem is worsening day by day. So this is a huge problem, but the blame lies, at least in part, with People Without Borders, because they continue to fuel this caravan by misrepresenting U.S. policy. And that is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, they're worried about hepatitis outbreaks in Tijuana. They've already discovered tuberculosis, AIDS, and chickenpox. And then, of course, the hepatitis outbreak, which would affect not just migrants, but also those who live in Tijuana. And listen, there's still travel going on between Tijuana and the United States. I mean, so disease is also a major issue. But, Wes, Let me go back through those numbers again. In 72 hours, what has been apprehended through the at the border with illegal goods and trafficking?
Yeah, 625 pounds of narcotic pills, over 600 pounds of methamphetamine, 36 people stashed in a house in the Rio Grande Valley with human traffickers, tons of marijuana. You know, and also, Jordan, to their credit, the Mexican government has really stepped up to the plate with us this time. The reason that they're all crowded in Tijuana is because the Mexican government has finally halted them there. I thought it was very interesting that whenever they stormed the gate this past weekend, 98 of those men who stormed that gate were immediately put on a plane and deported by the Mexican government. And this week, over 100 of the caravanners have voluntarily gone back to their home countries as well. But it is a real crisis because not just of the humanitarian crisis, and the conditions are inhumane, and it's sad. And the groups that are sponsoring them are really subjecting them to inhumane conditions and false premises. But in addition to that, the drug smugglers and the human traffickers are taking advantage of this. And so on the more porous, unguarded parts of the border, they are flooding across.
Here's a question I think we could answer very quickly from Randall in Michigan online, too. Randall, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, you guys. I just want you to know you guys are often in prayer, and I'm grateful to receive this call.
My question is
simply that, if a woman is illegal in this country and she bears a child in this country, and I'm up on sovereignty quite a bit with one born in this country, but isn't it documented somewhere where that child has to be deported also with her?
It's the exact opposite. That child is a U.S. citizen. I mean, that is how the law has been interpreted as it stands. Remember, President Trump was talking about an executive order potentially changing that. So that those here illegally, their children are not immediately given birthright citizenship. So if your parents were here legally, like you have a green card or work visa or even a student visa, and you had a child, yes, you get birthright citizenship. You're born here. Your parents were here with legal status. But right now, Harry, if you're born here to illegal immigrants, you are an American.
That is the general policy of the United States, although I would add one caveat. The United States Supreme Court has not issued a definitive opinion on that precise issue, and that could be subject to litigation going forward. But as of now, U.S. policy would confer citizenship on the child.
So it hasn't been really fully confirmed by the Supreme Court, but it has been the policy since, I think, the 1970s, or maybe even longer than that, with birthright citizenship. Folks, we need to raise $400,000 by midnight tomorrow night. Support the work of the ACLJ. Millions of people are listening right now. If you chip in, your donation is doubled at ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We do it our final segment of the broadcast. We take your phone calls. You know, the breaking news is that the DEA officials are heading down, authorized by the Department of Justice because of a request by Department of Homeland Security, emergency request. So are U.S. Marshals. They're all heading to the southern border to assist. We've talked about it extensively. We want to take your phone calls about this. We also had breaking news that President Trump has canceled his meeting with President Vladimir Putin at the G20 in Argentina that the president's heading to right now because of Russia's treatment of Ukrainian troops that were apprehended on off their vessels in the Navy in the Crimea area. And so he's canceled he sent out the tweet. He's canceled the meeting with President Putin, taking a tough stance and kind of a slap at Russia by saying, we will not sit down next to each other at this international summit. Unfortunately, we lost Joe's call again. Joe's call dropped. If she can get back with us, we will get right to her phone call, 1-800-684-3110. But let's take another call right now. We go in order of the calls they've been received. Steve in Georgia on line 5. Steve, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, good afternoon. Listen, I had a couple of comments on chain migration, and I think we need more than a wall. We also need to stop chain migration. It's just getting crazy. And when I say stop chain migration, I mean even that for U.S. citizens. They should not be able to immigrate anyone but what we refer to as immediate relatives, spouse, and children. We need to stop that, as far as I'm concerned. Stop the chain migration. And then as far as the DACA people go, I understand compromise, but to give them a complete path to citizenship, to me, is just going a little too far. I say legalize them, let them stay. They don't have to look over their shoulders and be worried about deportation unless they break the law. At least extend that period from 3.5-5 years where they become a citizen to maybe extend it out to 10 or 15 years.
Yes, I think, yes, becoming a citizen should take a long time, sometimes, 10 years. So I think we're in agreement there that even with DACA recipients, they would be given green cards and then a pathway to citizenship, and they'd have to fulfill steps along the way to receive that. And this would be in exchange for fully funding $25 billion to build the wall. I think we'd also look at that, including the 11 to 20 million people here illegally and some kind of pathway there, long pathways with lots of steps that would kick you out of the process, like criminal records. You'd have to pay back taxes. Lots of reasons why you would likely not qualify. But I want to go to Harry Hutchinson because, Harry, Steve brought up chain migration. When you get past immediate family right now in the U.S., it is pretty tough to bring in people outside of your immediate family, even now under the laws.
Absolutely. So one of the things that is interesting to consider is the fact that the United States is out of step with most developed countries, such as Canada and Australia, with respect to chain migration. Most of those countries have already adopted a merit-based system. So to end chain migration, as the caller supports, we need something that would be called comprehensive immigration reform, and that would be part and parcel of a proposal that would likely require bipartisan approval, which means bipartisan buy-in. And that, I think, is very difficult to contemplate because the elites in Washington, the elites on the East Coast and on the West Coast, they tend to be insulated from the problems associated with, for instance, illegal immigration.
Yeah.
And they are quite prepared to allow other people to deal with those problems. And they're not necessarily willing to solve problems that would benefit all Americans. And so I think that is a huge problem. You have elites who are grounding their approach to immigration policy in ideology, which often makes no practical sense.
Yeah,
so we need a sensible immigration policy, but it's difficult to contemplate when that will actually happen.
I chuckle, Wes, because I can go to Wes or Than on this, all of us. I chuckle at the comprehensive immigration because what we're asking for really is just some solutions on DACA for the people who are already here and building the wall.
Yes.
Then you get to comprehensive immigration reform, which is, I chuckle at because I mean, Republicans couldn't do it as unified. Democrats couldn't do it unified. It's just Congress is not – presidents have been willing to do it. Bush, Reagan, Clinton, ready to sign it. President Trump, ready to sign it. But Congress cannot get it to their desk.
No. And last year, the Democrats refused to take yes for an answer for what they were asking for. The president agreed not only to approve the DACA program, but to enlarge it in exchange for the wall. And the Democrats absolutely refused to go along with that.
All right. Let's get right back to the phones. Take as many calls as we can. Maureen in Indiana, online 6. Maureen, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to circle back to something that Harry touched on in the last segment, and that is the health status of the people who are waiting to come in. I'm not a doctor, but I do work in medicine, and I think what we should consider is that of the people who have TB, there are very resistant strains of TB throughout the world, and we have been successful of mitigating that in the United States. And I think we need to really take into consideration the health status of the people who are asking to come in relationship to protecting the citizens who live here.
Oh, absolutely. This is becoming a major problem for Tijuana. I mean, migrants in the caravan are suffering from respiratory infections, tuberculosis, like you said, TB, chickenpox, AIDS. There's a potential for a hepatitis outbreak in all of Tijuana. That would affect, again, the U.S. because we can't totally shut off the port of entry. That would cripple Tijuana because of the goods and services that go through. So, again, I think it's very important. Very important. Jo has finally got back in. She's been holding a long time and said to call back in a few times. Jo, welcome to JSecuo Live. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say I stand firmly with this president. He's the strongest president we've had in decades. Shut down the government. We need that wall. I'm from Southern California. This place is a mess. And I want to know where the responsibility falls on the parents of these children that were, you know, had tear gas effects.
Well, you know, the parents put their children in their situations, and unfortunately, the children oftentimes in these situations are used as human shields. We see this all the time in the Middle East. Tactics by Hamas, tactics by the Palestinian Authority. They put children in the way so that they get hurt. And it sounds horrible, but then it makes for propaganda. And that's the truth. But this is non-lethal. It's unfortunate that the children are utilized this way, but we have to protect our border and stop this kind of violence and chaos. Let's get this final call in. Mark in South Carolina on line one. Mark, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Hey, thanks, Jay. You guys do a great job. Last segment, you talked about the mayor of Tijuana and his worries about the disease. And it made me think he's just a mayor of a city. There's also a Mexican state as a representative.
Yeah.
And for that matter, the president of the country. I think if 10,000 Americans over the course of several weeks made a run for the Canadian border, we'd have something to say about it. Where's the sense of shame that so many
new Mexican president is coming in? Is it tomorrow? Is it Saturday? Saturday. So there's a new Mexican administration that has pledged to be much tougher and work much closer with the Trump administration on this issue. So that's why I think you haven't heard a lot from the federal government in Mexico, is because there's a transition of power right now occurring within the next 24 hours. Folks, in the next 24 hours, a little bit more than that, by midnight tomorrow night, we need to raise at the American Center for Law and Justice $400,000 by midnight tomorrow night. We can do that with your financial support of the ACLJ. Millions of you are listening right now. Donate at ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate is matched. It is doubled. We can reach that goal of $400,000 by midnight tomorrow night if you donate today at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.